Your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter number 13. We're going to try to complete a message we started back several weeks ago, and on spiritual exhortations out of Hebrews, chapter 13. We've been dealing with those spiritual exhortations that I believe the Apostle Paul, the human writer of this book, was given at the end here as he had been talking about this. Heard a whole lot in Hebrews about the shadows of the Hebrew way, the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and all of that. And we come now to this last one I want to share with you, and spiritual power. We talked about spiritual fellowship, and the first few verses talked about the fellowship and how that we have fellowship one with another and love one another because of the love of God. Talks about marriage, talks about entertaining angels unawares. It talks about all that. Then in verses 4 or 5, we talked about the spiritual treasures. God's helping us and how he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, the Lord's my helper. And then we talked about the spiritual food as we dealt with the pastor and the people. But what we really tried to center in on that was that we are to feed the word of God and share that precious word with our people. Then last week we talked about spiritual sacrifices. And as we did that, we talked about the sacrifice of praise. And I was thinking that while I was praying, that the sacrifice of praise, when people a while ago stood and testified, that gives God glory. That's a sacrifice acceptable unto him, praise. And then we talked about good works. And I realize us Baptists, we kind of worry about that. Don't let it scare you off. Good works. We ought to have good works after we are saved. We're saved by grace, but created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we ought to have those. And then our bodies are living sacrifice. And so that's pleasing to God, sacrifice, that we do that. Then he talks about a broken heart and contrite spirit. That's a sacrifice God's well pleased with. And souls won to God, that's a sacrifice God's pleased with. We talked about several sacrifices God's pleased with. But tonight, we just simply want to deal with spiritual power. And you may wonder about that title, but I believe that you'll see what we're saying here in a little bit. Starting at verse number 17, will you stand please while I read the word of God. Verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. And that little phrase in that verse really gets to my heart, as they that must give an account. I tied that verse in with when we were dealing with the spiritual food, and that is our responsibility as a pastor to give you that. And I've got to give an account to God for this, how we do handle things here. And so I realize that's a great responsibility. They may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Our desire is to help you, is to do that that's right, preach you the word of God, and try to share that with you. Then in verse 18 says, pray for us. And I echo that again, pray for us. And we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That verse of scripture has a whole lot to say, and I pray that God speak to our heart about it. Amen. Notice what it said, the God of peace. He just sang about peace. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of God. He rose by the power of God. That great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Brethren just made a statement, glad that we're under grace, not law. I'm glad we got an everlasting covenant, a blood covenant. Amen. It's not going to change. It's done, completed. It's already finished, and we can rest assured in that blood covenant. Now, look with me in verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And if you don't have the spiritual power of God working in you, that'll never happen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I've written a letter unto you in few words. Know you that our brother Timothy is set for at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I'll see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints that, and they of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, just for a moment of prayer. Then we'll try to bring you the message. Father, help us tonight. We need you in Jesus' name to help us. I realize, Lord, that without you we can do nothing. And so we bow our heads, humble our hearts, and ask for that divine touch of God. I pray for illumination. I pray for help. And that we may share just that you'd have us to share. Make it real to us tonight. And Father, I pray that spiritual power be manifested. And God, that you'd help us to realize, God, the availability of it. And that you said, be filled with the Spirit. And we need tonight yield ourselves unto thee and ask you to help us. We know you don't fill dirty vessels, but clean vessels. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name to cleanse and help. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we begin thinking tonight about these verses of Scripture and spiritual power, I call your attention to verse number 20 again. That verse stood out. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I want to pick up on that thought there just for a few moments and talk about the great shepherd. He is there called the great shepherd, but I want to talk about three ways that Jesus is mentioned to us in the Word of God as being a shepherd, and pray that God would help us with this and that we may see that. In John chapter 10, verse number 11, he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he is a good shepherd would die for his sheep. That's what Jesus did for us. He died for us. But in Psalms, if you'll turn back to Psalms 22, Psalms 22, 23, and 24 is a triology. And in those, you'll find the death of Jesus and then what he does for us and then his coming back to get us. And so in chapter number 22 of the book of Psalm, I'm just going to give you a few verses out of this psalm and show you how he talks about the death. And he did die. He's a good shepherd. And we'll have to know him as a good shepherd if we ever know anything about spiritual power. We'll have to know him as our good shepherd. Notice verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does those words sound familiar to you? Have you read those somewhere in the New Testament? When Jesus was on the cross, that's exactly what he cried. And he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is here being prophesied of what he would say. Look at verse number 6. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. That's what he was as he hung there on the cross. Look at verse 8. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. They also on the cross, they made fun of him and said he saved us. Let him save himself if he be the Christ. But he suffered that. Look at verse number 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gapped upon me with their mouths as a raven and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. And all of his bones were out of joint. Not any were broken, but they were out of joint. My heart is like wax, is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up is like a potion. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, have pierced my hands and my feet. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm afraid sometimes we have heard about the cross until it fails to really mean what it ought to mean to us as you think about the cross. And sometimes you see pictures of a man hanging on a cross and a little bit of blood dripping here and there. That's not even anywhere near what Jesus was on the cross. And when God darkened it out for those 3 hours, there was things happening around Jesus that we know nothing about, what he suffered and how bad it was. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And there he is simply prophesying of the Lord Jesus and what would happen at the cross of Calvary. They did part his vesture. They did cast lots. They did mock him. They did make fun of him. His bones did stick out. And said he could tell off his bones. His bald bones out of joint hanging there. Can you imagine hanging there and joints of his bones out of joint and the blood everywhere and been beaten, striped, and cut open and all that gushing out. The Bible said he marred more than any man. Wouldn't even look human to us hanging on the cross of Calvary. But he hung there like that. Why did he do that? Because he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd that loves his sheep and bought his sheep and paid for his sheep, died for his sheep so that they might live. A good shepherd does not forsake them and let lion or bear or whatever have them. He fights them. You remember David took and said he slew a lion, slew a bear. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd, that's for sure. And I thank God he's a good shepherd. He's my shepherd, by the way. I'm going to get to that in chapter 23 of Psalm here in just a moment, but I'm telling you, he's a great shepherd. I want you to look with me, please, over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. Well, that's talking about the chief shepherd. Forget it. I'll get back to that in a minute. I'm about to get ahead of myself. I want a good shepherd. I'll get him here in just a moment. In verse number 20, back in our text, I jumped ahead of myself. We'll back up. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. But look at verse 20. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The great shepherd of the sheep. Now back to Psalm again, chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now here we come to the great shepherd. He brought again the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, but he's here to help us. And we're going to talk about that perfection in a little bit. We'll get to that a little bit later. But right now, I'm talking about the shepherd. I just got caught up when I saw that great shepherd in this an exhortation that Paul was given to the Hebrews there as they were turning away from those rituals and all of the Old Testament that they were doing and showing them the better way. And he talks about a better way in Hebrews, and he is the better way, and he's perfected all that. That was a shadow in the Old Testament. He's the real thing. I believe Coke has that thing about the real thing. Well, Jesus is a real thing. He's a real one, amen. All that other was shadow, a picture of, showing us, and prophesying of, and telling us. But Jesus came as a good shepherd and died for us and paid our price that we could not pay. And I praise him and thank him for that. But he's a great shepherd, a great shepherd. Now listen to what a great shepherd does. Here it is in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. Listen to that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Sheep like still waters to drink out of. They don't like rough waters. They like to find it where it bends in a creek or a river and get in still water and drink from it. Where they won't be scared. They're not afraid. They can hear good. They can see what's around them and be aware of their the shepherd died for us. The great shepherd, as a great shepherd, he leads us into green pastures. He shows us good things and brings us to good water. I'm glad, thank God, I didn't just get a drink. I got to well. Amen. And as a great shepherd, he's helping me and leading me. He is my shepherd. I know as people here say, well, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. We're in the same fold. We're the same sheepfold. And he's our shepherd. He's leading us. And listen to this. And you're well aware of Psalm 23. You've heard it over and over. But listen, verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Aren't you glad he does? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in those right paths for his name's sake. Then he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a promise that is. As a great shepherd, he's saying, I'm with you. I'm going to lead you in green pastures. I'm going to get you some good water, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to restore your soul. I'm going to give you peace and passive of knowledge of man, and I'm going to be with you when it comes time to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I say hallelujah. The older I get, the more I think about that. Hey, it won't be long till Jesus will either come and take me out of here or I'll go through that valley of the shadow of death. But either way,
I like that song that says, where thou go or where thou stay, it's all right. Amen. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're going through the valley of the shadow of death and he's a light, you're not going to be in darkness. You'll be in light, and then it'll just be going in one side and out the other. If you go through something, you don't stop. If you go through a door, you get on the other side of the wall. And so he said, through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't stop in that valley. You just keep on going. And he's with you, and he's a great shepherd, and he's leading me. He's already led me in green pastures and still waters. And tonight, as Brother Ben sang that song about peace, he just let me know, he's leading me in the peaceful way and helping me and giving me peace, that passive understanding, and a world that's upset, a world that's torn apart, and a society has gone mad. I still have peace of God on the inside, and the world can't do a thing in the world about it. The devil can't mess it up. He can do all he wants to do to try, but whoop, hallelujah, he can't mess with it. Amen. Look at verse number 5. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. Hey, I love that. Amen. My cup runneth over. I like that running over. And the girls sing a song sometimes. My cup runs over. My saucer's getting full. Amen. It is full. I praise God. You young folk, y'all don't even remember drinking coffee out of a saucer. Some of us older folk, we remember that. Some of you older folk, but then I did a little bit of that, but not very much of it. But I remember my dad doing it, and I remember my grandpa doing it, and my grandma doing it. When every time you had a cup of coffee, you had a cup and a saucer. And they would take a coffee because it's hot and pour it in a saucer and pick up a saucer and sup it out. And you youngins think that's something, don't you? Amen. But I remember Juanita's older sister and her husband was taking her mom and dad out to eat years ago. And they were going out to eat. And they told Brother Jones, said, now remember, we're going out to a restaurant. Don't pour your coffee out in the saucer and sup it. I'll never forget that. They laughed about it and he laughed about it. But hey, I'm glad, praise God. Here, I mean, saucer can get full. Spiritually, your cup can get so full that it runs over. And we've been talking about spiritual things around here, and some folk testified about some things, and I see some of them sitting back there, and they're talking about the church, and they and I thank God that we can come in and worship God, get our cup filled up, and sometimes if you come with your cup turned upside down, it's not going to get full. And so make sure you got your cup turned upright, and then bring a saucer with it. So when your cup gets full, you can catch overflow and get in on that too. Amen. I like it. I love it when the cup gets full and just runs over. It gets running out your eyes, gets running out your hand, gets running out your feet. Amen. Praising God out your tongue and mouth and praising God. Hey, I'm glad for that. You know why that is? Because he's a great shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's not a good shepherd, died for us and then forgot about us. He's a great shepherd. He died for us and rose from the dead. And now he's leading us in the paths. He wants us to go and showing us a way and taking care of us and letting us drink good water. And then when it comes time to go on the other side, the other pasture field, he's going to lead us right on through that. And hallelujah. I'm thinking about that pasture field of glory. Hallelujah. And there we'll never, never have to worry about anything. Praise God. Well, we'll get to the rest of it in a minute. Now I want to look at the chief shepherd just a minute. I'll go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When we're talking about the crowns, we talked about that. But the chief shepherd shall appear, and we shall receive a crown of glory. That is, when he comes to get us and take us out of here, he's coming back for us. He not only died for us, he not only rose from the dead for us, he not only leading us and guiding us as a great shepherd, as a chief shepherd, he's coming back to get us in Psalms 24. Psalms 24. And look at verse number 7. We'll read the rest, 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads. Boy, I like that. Lift up your heads. Oh, your gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts He is the King of glory. I say hallelujah. He is. And that King of glory is coming back to get us and open up the gates. And I say hallelujah. A song the choir sings sometimes, swing wide the gate. Amen. Here come. Hey, the brides are coming home, but the King of glory, a bridegroom will come in with his bride. I say hallelujah. He's coming to get us. When we go into heaven, we're not going in by ourselves. We're going in with the King of glory. And everlasting doors opened up, and we shall be with him. The King of glory, the Lord of hosts is his name. I say glory, hallelujah. I've got something to look forward to. I praise God. I'm talking about spiritual power. And tonight, and no spiritual power will you ever have unless you know the good shepherd. Unless you let the great shepherd lead you and guide you and direct you, and then looking for the chief shepherd to come and get you, you'll be a good candidate for some spiritual power in your life. And the Bible said, be filled with the Spirit, but notice what he said in verse number 21. Make you perfect. Now, he's been talking about this shepherd and said through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. That word perfect there means to mature, to grow up as a Christian, as a saved person. In every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's saying this. He's saying he's going to work in us, and he's going to help us mature, and we're going to have power of God in us. The only way you can mature is a spiritual power within you. If the spiritual power in the work in you, you can never mature as a Christian. You must have that. I want you to look with me, please, in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Chapter 2, verse 12 of Philippians. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, when it says work out your own salvation, it didn't say work for salvation. It said work it out. God has to put it in. We work it out. Amen. It's God's salvation working out of us, through us, out to others. For it is God which, notice verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I stop there and say, amen. That's the kind of nation we're living in. Crooked, perverse. But you know what he said in that verse? He said that you may be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Only way you can shine as lights in the world is spiritual power in your life. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul said, I hadn't run in vain, neither labored in vain. I'm the spiritual power that works in me has helped me. It'll help you. It'll help all of us mature and grow up as Christians, and we can be victorious in this life. We don't have to live defeated now. And I'm looking for heaven. I'm looking for Jesus to come. I'm looking to get out of here and go home. But while I am here, I do not have to live under the circumstances. I can live above by the grace of God and the help of God and have the peace of God and the power of God and live my life day by day in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad that he is my help, my hope. He is my paraclete. He's the one that runs alongside to help. If our lives, we need that spiritual power. And he's exhorting here these Christians, these Hebrew Christians. He's exhorting them about all these things I've mentioned to you out of this chapter. But tonight, that I wanted to get in on, I got the reading about that shepherd and couldn't get away from it. But I'm glad he helps us. He helps us to live victorious, that you make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Work out, and that's what he wants us to do. Every good work, do his will. Do his will. What is the will of God anyway? For people to be saved, first of all, it's his will after you are saved to obey God and follow him in baptism. That's his will. It's his will you be faithful in church. That's his will. It's his will that you be a witness and a testimony for God. That's his will. It's His will that you live daily in the power of God and not in your flesh, that you die daily to self and let God live in you and through you. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray you take your word, speak to our hearts. Thank you that we have a good shepherd, a great shepherd. The chief shepherd's coming. And thank you, Lord, that and all that you're doing for us as our shepherd is leading us into the paths of spiritual power, that we may live our lives day by day in that power of God, be a testimony of the saving grace of God, that we may be a light, a shining light in a dark world. And Father, help everybody in this house tonight to realize that we are to be lights in the world to show others the reality of salvation. I pray tonight you'd have your way. Magnify yourself and get glory. Do whatever you want to do in this invitation. I pray that you rebuke the devil. And somebody here needs to come and bow and ask you to help them. Somebody may need to get saved. Somebody may need to get right. Somebody may need your help in their situation. I pray you'd help them in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet, please.